The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 1st of March, 2024, and you're on the clock with Erin Green on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I have got a full show today. I await the arrival of Mr. Eric Sawyer III. We have a possible pop-in from Sawyer Boy, so you could hear their voices in the same place at the same time and know that they are two separate superstars. Both have meteorite-like careers. Both are charting courses uncharted before. Both are doing big things. Both are funny men. But that's two whole different men. Two spectacular men. Hopefully they'll be in the same place at the same time. This morning, we also have to say congratulations to Eric Sawyer III. Last week, he achieved the status of Agent of the Year. He works for BAF. Congratulations, Eric Sawyer III, particularly since you always dedicate a part of your day, your Friday, to on-the-clock Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III. Thank you very much. Last night, I was on the move, which is fitting because we have Mikey Pop Dames in studio from Pop's Island Move 5K Run Walk Push Race. Good morning, sir.
Morning. How you doing?
I am good. Thank you. I am good. Thank you. Inspired by today's conversation, I tried to touch a number of events last night.
Okay.
The first one was all about the beans. It was a vegan food expo featuring some of the country's best vegan restaurants and chefs, right? I thought, of course, it's a perfect lead-in to this discussion today. It was hosted by the U.S. Embassy.
Ah, okay.
And it highlighted like I say, some of the leading chefs.
I'd have loved to have been there.
Some of the most popular vegan food restaurants. And then it had some of the leading chefs creating, you know, and sort of beans, of course, were the theme.
Right.
And pigeon peas was the local sort of theme of the evening.
Yeah.
It was excellent.
That's a high-quality protein.
Yeah. And we can talk about that in a bit. And then I want to say I had the fortune because it was an event not to be missed, but of course it was a sad event. Last night, the friends and family of Alpheus Hawk Finlayson held a memorial for him, a final walk with Hawk, and I'm hoping that Mr. Stanley Mitchell can join us this morning just to touch on that briefly.
Yeah, but that's only sad to a point, because if someone memorializes you, that means that you've done some great things. And Hawk was a great guy. I mean, he really did a lot for Bahamian athletics and Bahamian athletes. So celebrating him is a very worthwhile
endeavor. Joyous, right?
Yeah.
But just to think of how much he's contributed.
Oh.
And how many spaces there are to fill now that he has passed on.
Yeah.
The beauty of it, right? Because there's beauty in everything.
Absolutely.
Is that it's his life that showed us all of the spaces to be filled.
Yeah.
Right? And that life showed you all of the opportunities you have to be a part of a community, to be a part of someone's life, to be the better part of someone's life,
right.
to contribute good to but people, even people you don't know.
Hulk also made it kind of normalize the idea that you could have a big impact on someone's life just doing little things for them.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do big things. He just, a little bit of coaching here, a little bit of coaching there, a little bit of advice here and there, and he made it. He was very impactful in a lot of people's lives. So this idea that everything has to be a grand spectacle and everything has to be, you know, bigger than life for you to acquire the type of accolades that he did is ridiculous, because he was great to a lot of people in very small ways,
mm-hmm.
but very, very impactful.
I know. My father passed, I was very young, about 13 years old, and Hawk was one of those community members. Whenever he saw you, it's like he knew what his job was.
No, absolutely.
And his job was...
We still a village.
Right, you know.
We still a village. If you're part of the village, now my responsibility if your daddy ain't here.
Yeah, and that was all.
We're losing a little bit of that. We're losing a little bit. And we got to get that back.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mr. Dames.
Mikey, Pops.
Pops Island Move, 5K run, walk, push, race.
Yes.
What is it? What inspired it? What are we going to be doing on Saturday, the 9th of March?
Okay. We're doing a 5K on the 9th of March. For anybody who wants to do a walk, run, push, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It was inspired because it actually lands squarely on my birthday. Last year, at the beginning of the year, I started to run. Old knees,
mm-hmm.
56-year-old knees then. And I wanted to do something to improve it, and taking pills and staying home was not the answer. So I started to run out on the beach, and that went pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
I started out really slow, ran for 30 seconds, walked for 30 seconds, got it all the way up to 3 minutes, and then 30 seconds walking. Then I plateaued, and I was enjoying it. I really loved the beach because mm-hmm. of that kind of almost esoteric feel you have when you're out on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And then it got to the point where I needed a coach. So I decided I'm going to run a 5K. Never ran one before in my life. This was a horrible idea. I think Kipchoge ran a marathon in the time that I ran my first 5K.
Okay.
It was bad. But I had a wonderful time. And I decided I would do one every weekend. And I'm doing one, and I realize, wait a minute, my birthday's falling on a Saturday. I'm going to organize one for myself. Here again, this is where my brain got way ahead of the details, because actually organizing one of these races took gargantuan effort. And I put it to my family, who is like my nucleus, it is my total nucleus, my wife and my kids. And they were first like, oh, Daddy, what are you on again? But everybody joined. The kids got involved. Everybody got involved to make this thing happen, because it took a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a 5K for my birthday, and I want everybody who is like-minded, just want to be well, to come out. Like, it's the running community actually is a really cool community. They're not judgmental. They don't make you feel bad. Everybody started somewhere, and they understand that. So they actually do encourage you. The walking community, same way.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that I want to inspire Bahamians to do is move, because movement is medicine. That's our motto. Movement is medicine. And staying still ain't the answer.
Right. Absolutely. I like the idea accessibility. 5 and up?
Yep.
So you can bring your kids. Children with you.
Yeah. And if you, like, there's some of the people that run regularly that'll come to a 5K and walk the 5K with the kids or with their grandmother or with their mother or whatever, just to encourage them to move. Because I think the whole idea that movement is a young person's thing is ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. I heard a statistic the other day that floored me. After the age of 30, 80% of the world's population will never run again. Never run. Mm-hmm. I think of that percentage, I think only of what's left, about 50% of the ones that will run after the age of 30 will actually sprint, which is scary, because we got to be able to be functional into our latter years. And I think we have this brain, there's this mindset that we have to act our age and we have to, you know, we have to become old. And I think that's a state of mind, because I've seen some, listen, I watch an 80-year-old run past me. We did a 5K, I did a 5K in Florida, and this little old lady, I had to literally run behind her at the finish to talk to her. She's 80 years old, and she just left me in the dust.
Absolutely.
Running, really running. And
it's 80. It's a self-imposed trap.
Oh, absolutely. But again, I think it's a little bit of that conditioning that we, you have to do certain things when you reach 50 and 60 and 70, and I don't ascribe to that at all.
I think for us, it's because we view exercise and movement and activity as punishment. And so once I hit 30, once I hit 30, I could do what I want, right? And if I want to sit in this chair and waste away, that's what I could do,
yeah,
right? Because I go to work, but it's my money, I could do what I want.
Yeah, but Aaron, on the flip side of that, right? Mm-hmm. Think about this. At 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever, you make a plan for yourself. You set a goal. What goal could you possibly set where your health and well-being isn't important to it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I want to say to aging Bahamians, because talking specifically about this culture here, right?
Right.
When you're 30 and you say to yourself, I don't have to. When you're 75, when you're 80, when you're 85, God forbid, when you're 65 or 70 and you don't have the strength to move your own body in the ways that you want to.
Okay, Aaron, you get blessed with long life. Yeah. We've got genes, your family as well as mine, people who live a very long time. But we do so many things as youngsters that by the time we reach into the latter years and we don't do anything about our health, our latter years are going to be home, doctor, pharmacy, back home.
And don't forget church, to pray that God heals
me. Pray that God heal me when God provides you 2 foot and two hand and say, go walk, man. Breathe in some of the air I send on there for you.
Mm-hmm. And maybe for people, like I went to St. Anne's, a very high mass Anglican church, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe the impetus, the stimulus would be, you know, when you kneel down for the prayer?
Right.
On the, you drop the knee pedal, right?
Yeah, right.
And you kneel down.
Right.
And you see elderly people, some elderly people can no longer kneel down and pull themselves back up.
Right.
And then you see those elderly people, they look like they came to church on a skateboard.
Yeah, exactly. But look at the Eastern cultures.
Right.
People 70, 80, 90 doing work, sitting on their heels, you know.
Mm-hmm. And in those cultures, they have retained techniques, exercise techniques like Qigong and Tai Chi. And these movements actually help to build a type of muscle that's most valuable for them at that age.
Oh, absolutely. But even the ones that don't practice any of those type of martial arts are functionally working.
Right,
And using their body functionally.
And are living in a culture of activity and movement.
Right.
We don't wait for the car to come to go down the road. We can walk down the road and walk back.
Aaron, walk down the road right now, and you could see the shop from your house, and you still can jump in the car to go to the shop.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's madness.
But I owe the pot cake money, sir. I owe the pot cake. He can't see me. I can sneak out there in my car and go smooth back. Let's get to Saturday, March the 9th.
Okay.
Now, all 5Ks start at 6 a.m. Does yours start at 6 a.m.?
Mine starts at 6, yes, from Western Esplanade.
Okay, now, most 5Ks leave Western Esplanade, Arawaki area,
right,
and head west.
Yeah, I'm going east.
Tell me why.
I'm walking into the light.
I love it.
Shouldn't you face east when you pray?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, that wasn't the impetus, but we're going east.
Yeah. There are cultures that believe that. No, that's absolutely wonderful.
That's absolutely true.
And it's a being able to absorb the energy from the sun as it rises.
Absolutely.
Right?
And that's one of the reasons I liked it. I'm actually copying somebody else's race route because the Junkanoo Jingle in December did it.
Right.
And I liked it, so I decided I want to go that way also.
Absolutely.
So we got the full support of the Royal Bahamas Police Force in order to do that because we're going to be using the northern side of the northern lane of Bay Street going and coming. But in actuality, we'll start at 6. even if we have some persons that walk really slowly, by 7:30 we're off the road anyway. So we're not going to disturb traffic in any big way.
Good stuff. So the route is west in Esplanade.
Correct.
East onto Bay Street.
That's right.
All the way to Rubus.
Right. By next to Crown Land.
Right, there we go.
Right.
And then we'd return and head back to Western Esplanade
on the same side of the street.
Northern side of the road.
Right.
This is awesome. Okay. Now, I read something that said, save the date and get ready for a day of fitness, fun, and festivities.
Absolutely. Afterwards, we have a race village. We have vendors that are going to be in the race village that are going to, we have persons that are going to check your health. We have
health screenings.
The health screening. We're going to have water suppliers. We're going to have some food items. And we're going to have quite a few artisans. We actually have space for vendors right now if they want to sign up. It's a limited number, but if any vendors want to sign up, what we're aiming for is persons that are going to come and display their art, their craft, their skills at the race village for the races, people in the community, as well as people who need to be encouraged to come into the fitness community.
Now, popsislandmove@gmail.com. Is that the correct email address?
That's the correct email address. Popsislandmove.com is our website. You can go there to register. Mm-hmm. Pops Island Move on the other social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, and all the rest of them. You can find us there. And if you look at all of those, our websites were designed by my children, my eldest daughter being the manager of all our children.
Okay. I love it.
They designed everything. Like I said, Pops came up with a brilliant idea, and everybody went,
another school project.
God, I thought we were done with this. And they participate. In fairness to them, everybody has a role, down to my 8-year-old has a function in this whole exercise, and they're all pulling their weight. They're doing a great job.
Your 8-year-old have a megaphone?
She don't need one. Not that one. Her presence will be felt. So my youngest, the 8 and 13-year-old, they're going to be giving out the medals at the end of the race.
Okay.
My sons are helping with all the logistics. The daughters are helping with the design and the actual planning. A lot went into this. A lot more went into it than I even anticipated. Because you figure you square up to the line at a 5K and break off running. That's about it.
Yeah.
You grab a goodie bag and go. The moving parts behind getting that organized, it floored me at first. In fact, we hired Four Seasons Race Management to do the management of the race. And my kids took care of everything else on our side of it.
Absolutely. It's great to have a mechanism like this that enables more fun run walks, because the work is cut in half.
Yeah.
Now you have a team of professionals. This is what they do.
Yeah, exactly.
You just need to work on your theme.
And your purpose.
Right. And identifying your target market, which is everybody. A fun run walk is everybody's business.
No,
thank
exactly.
You.
Everybody could participate.
Thank you, Chester Cooper. I've taken that slogan.
I actually want to talk about our charity here whenever you...
You know, absolutely. Let's talk about the charity, and then let's talk about prizes and surprises.
I will most definitely do that.
Okay.
We are supporting the Bahamas Sickle Cell Association. It's a very important association in our family because my eldest daughter, the manager of the family, Mickey... She was born with sickle cell.
Okay.
She's at this very moment, she's in hospital in the United States at Holy Cross having a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important for our family to support sickle cell because it's one of those diseases that doesn't get as much traction as some of the others.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not taking away from them. Please don't anybody consider that I'm doing that. But it's something that for my entire life as a parent, I've been dealing with sickle cell.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, her entire life has been dealing with sickle cell. And I know how absolutely taxing on your being the disease is. So we want to support it, support the research, support a family. If we could take away the pain from one child for one day, the angst and agony from a parent that has to endure watching their child writhing in pain, taking another... intravenous injection after the 100 millionth time, and they're only 10, and you know, doctors given. So we wanted to very vigorously support the Sickle Cell Association, and I want to make sure that the association gets a lot more traction. So even if persons can't participate in Pops Island move, mm-hmm. next week, if they can make even the smallest of contribution to the Sickle Cell Association, and they have their website. If you go on popsislandmove.com, you can link to their website and make a donation. And like I always love to say, baby steps of progress. So even if you're able to contribute a quarter, dollar, 50 cents, it doesn't have to be a huge contribution. It will go a long way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Not as publicized or not in the forefront of the public domain as much as other conditions.
Right.
But sickle cell is...
it's predominantly for us.
African descended people. Absolutely. And so
you'd be shocked at how little traction it gets. Mickey was 3 years old when we actually got the diagnosis. So for three entire years, here in the Bahamas, mm-hmm. with black doctors, nobody checked my child for sickle cell. I'm a brand new parent, so I don't even know anything about...
What's missing from the discussion?
I could write the book now, but at the time, I'm clueless. I'm relying on these smart people to tell me, what's going on with it. And that didn't happen. I think for any child that's African descended, that screening should be a no-brainer. That should be mandatory.
Absolutely.
Just check it. Because let's just check it.
Adults may want to say, hey, I have experienced sickle cell, whether personally or with my family,
right.
and I am going to make a choice to not date, not marry, not have a child with someone who also carries the sickle cell trait.
Right, because if you have the trait and I have the trait, we exponentially increase the odds that a child would have the disease.
Right.
Not just the trait.
But the disease.
But the disease. I mean, it is pernicious. And its foundation is pure pain. Mm-hmm. Like every manifestation of the disease is your child in agony. Your adult, your child, your baby child to your adult child is in sheer agony. And there's the protocols to deal with it. Are painful, necessary but painful, and you're standing there wishing to God that you could take some of that away from him, and you can't. Like it's hard. It's hard on both the parent, and I know it's hard on my daughter.
Yeah, and it's hard on the whole family, right?
Absolutely,
because the other kids, like, they understand why you sort of divert all these resources and attention to this particular child.
Let me further that because she had an episode earlier this week, and I immediately solicited my eldest son to go over and be with her, to assist her. So he's taken away from work. He doesn't have a complaint at all.
Of course,
he has to do it. But again, it's the disease doesn't get as much airtime as it needs, because it people need to know how much it affects the entire family and how difficult it is to deal with.
All right. Now, Pops.
Yes, ma'am.
I've been to an event all about the beans last night.
Right.
I got prizes.
Right.
I got healthy prizes.
Right.
I got a cup of pigeon peas. No, don't laugh at me. I got a can of organic chickpeas.
All right, garbanzo.
I got a pouch. I got a pack of love corn, a healthy corn, roasted corn snack.
Nice.
Chickpea puffs. Edamame beans. There's a theme here.
Gotcha.
There's a theme here, right?
Right.
So I got this wonderful prize and a bag of split peas.
Hello.
Right? These are wonderful prizes.
Yes.
These are prizes you could do something with. In fact, next week on the show, I got to find me a chef so we could play Bahamian style, all about the beans, chopped. When we go inside this bag, I can throw a couple other local veggie things in there.
Yeah, man.
And the best recipe wins.
The farmer's market.
So now, this is the prize I got from All About the Beans.
Right.
What are going to be the prizes at Pops Island Move?
Our bags are actually going to be really solid compared to other race bikes, right? Not taken away from anybody else's race bike. We actually were fortunate enough to get a company called Element. Their slogan is "Stay Salty." It's a New York-based company that does an electrolyte drink for sports runners and active people. Mm-hmm. It's designed to, you know, dissolve in your drink, and you drink it during your activity, before, during, or after your activity, okay, to replace electrolytes and sodium. We contacted them, and they sent us some amazing prizes.
Okay.
So that's going to be in the bag. You're going to get a Pops Animal water bottle. You're going to get running lights. The bag is going to be full.
Ooh.
The bag that you're going to get just for registering. However, I'll say this. We have a very limited number. You know, we have 175 spaces.
Okay.
And quite a few of them are being filled up because we got some pretty solid partners, and each one of the partners is sending people to participate in the race.
That's awesome. I mean, that's a partnership.
Oh, yeah. We've got some really, really solid partners.
Let me list some of them off. Of course, Four Seasons Race Management.
That list is not updated. Do you mind if I...
Sure.
Okay.
But you better have...
These
people could be on it, though, right?
Oh, I got everybody. Everybody on there.
Oh, awesome.
Four Seasons Race Management is the management company. They're managing the race for me. Okay, but my partners that participated by giving gifts for our raffle, because there's going to be a raffle, and there's some solid prize. There's sports watches and everything in the raffle. You trust me, you don't want to miss this, right? 9 to 5 Import Export. They're helping with our stuff. Albany Bahamas came in and partnered with us. ARM Bottling Supplies, Quality Home Center, Crystal Select Water, Four Seasons Cranes. The guys who do the cranes, the big
yeah,
big
I'm
cranes.
So happy my neighbor could be there because
that's right.
Miss and fall and roll, he could pick me up. He know right there.
Yeah,
he me
off. Could bring the crane and just. So Neil is there.
Awesome.
Mark, who does my towing for me, he said, I coming in, I participating, so he's there.
Okay.
Pedal Paradise, Blair Major, he's doing all of the drone. We're going to have drone coverage for the race. So
listen,
he's
okay,
participating.
So. Note to self, rework the cheating vibe.
Don't cheat on this race. No.
There will be drones. Okay.
No, if you bring your little scooter or your skates, I can see.
Okay.
I can see. Now, interestingly, we also have every one of my kids is entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
Kind of like mom and dad, my wife and I. So their companies are also participating. And I want to specifically mention that these are the family companies that I'm going to mention next.
Okay.
The Corn Roaster, I think you're familiar with.
Yeah.
We have three locations and two on Carmichael. That's my wife and I.
Okay.
The Main Vegan is a new truck that we're coming up with. That's why I was a little surprised when you said about the vegan event last night, but we'll talk about that later.
I'm telling you.
Mickey's Table.
Yeah.
If you go on Instagram, you'll see all of her stuff. She did all of the social media content for us.
Okay.
And that's her thing. She's a chef. She's an artisan when it comes to food and beverage. She is really, really good. That's the manager of the family. And that's my sickler. She's, in spite of her condition, she's done amazing, amazing things. So Mickey's Table, her other company is Wild Sugar Cane. And then Solji is doing all of the music. That's my eldest son.
Okay.
He's doing all of the music and all of the entertainment. He's putting all of that together. So we have all my kids participating. My wife, my family, everybody's involved in the organization of it. It's going to be fun. It's actually my birthday. So whole thing is my birthday present to me. And I like practical birthday presents.
Absolutely.
Don't give me cologne and... I don't need that, man. If you give me a pair of running shoes or something that's going to encourage me into, you know,
a nice,
something
a nice
positive.
Pair of comfortable socks for running.
Yes.
So treat my feet like the vehicles that they are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You ain't going nowhere without them, so you better treat them good.
All right. Pops?
Yes, ma'am.
I calling you Pops.
You can.
Because I'm celebrating your birthday, too.
You can. I got to tell you a story about Pops when we have a chance.
All right. On the other side of the break, we're going to run through the details for the Pops Island Move 5K this March the 9th, Saturday.
Next week, Saturday.
Yeah. Coming up.
Yeah.
But be out there and practice. I can practice.
Yeah, man.
I can need some practice.
That ain't no problem.
This will be going to a break. We're coming right back after the break. Mr. Sheldon Longley. is going to join us as well. Man, these young people just out here every week, they fill the paper with things to celebrate, man.
Absolutely.
We'll be right back. You guys stay tuned to On the Clock with Aaron Green on the Sports Friday with Mr. Eric Sawyer III. I'm hoping he's going to sprint in at any moment so we can tell him congratulations for securing Agent of the Year. Yeah. You guys, we'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Saturday, March 9th at Collins Estates Grounds, Collins Avenue, and Shirley Street. It's March Madness Grill Fest beginning at 12 p.m. There'll be lots of grilled food and tasty dishes. Grilled chicken, beef, fish, grilled duck, grilled this, skunk fritters, shrimp rolls, and fried barry too. Native sweets and treats, ice cold drinks, leaded and unleaded. Domino and bingo tournament, live band and DJs. Proceeds in aid of our Disability Awareness Summer Camp and Junk Canoe Group. For more information, call 804-1773. Powered by Bacardi's and the Royal Bahamas Defense Force.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You're on the clock with Aaron Green on the Sports Friday with Eric Sawyer III. Producer, I see there's a call there on the line. Mr. Sheldon Longley is joining me for the second half of the show. Morning, Mr. Longley.
Good morning. Thanks for having me, Aaron. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely. And he joins Pops. He tell me don't call him Mr. Dames.
No. That's my daddy.
There you go. Pops, from the Pops Island Move 5K Fun Run Walk Push, coming up Saturday, the 9th of March, March 2024. Okay. Now, there's somebody on that phone line. Good morning, caller.
Aaron.
Yes, sir.
It's your guest still there, but
Yeah. The organization is raising money,
all right,
and they're going to give part proceeds to the Bahamas Sickle Cell Association.
I was going to ask him, have you heard about the FDA approved a cure for sickle cell called Casgevy? Have you heard about that?
Yes, we've heard about it.
And it's not cheap, but it's a cure.
Well, I don't want to be curt, but I never bought the first iPhone when it came out. Because the FDA approved it, we're not comfortable with it until we've seen, gotten a little more traction. I'm not going to discourage anybody from trying it. But for my family, we're wanting to see a little bit more detail on the trials and stuff like that before we try to use it.
Thank you.
But thank you for that information. Yes, we are aware, and I really appreciate you saying that. And I hope my words didn't discourage anybody, but please do your research. I've discovered from my daughter not being well that you really got to ask a lot of questions, you know, because mm-hmm. the doctors say, oh, here, go ahead and take this. I mean, I'm not going to jump right ahead and take it. You know, if you look at some of the other drugs that came out, the Lipitors and all the rest of them that got recalled and all the rest of it. Let me see what it's going to
give it
do
a little
first.
Bit of time.
Because I've grown fond of my oldest daughter over the years, so I don't want to sacrifice her just yet. I actually
yes,
like the kid.
You could take that to the bank. Absolutely.
But thank you very much.
Thank you, caller. Absolutely. Okay, so Saturday, 9th of March,
yes.
Start time 6 a.m., Western Esplanade.
Yes.
We're heading east. We're walking
east.
Into the sun.
We're going to walk into the light.
Walk into the morning, walk into the energy.
Yes.
We're walking all the way to the Rubus on East Bay.
Right at the end of Armstrong Street, yes.
Right, and then we're going to turn around and head back west to Western Esplanade.
That's
on
right.
Bay Street on the in the Northern Lane again.
Always in the Northern Lane.
Always in the Northern Lane.
Yes.
Ages 5 and up.
Yes.
Costs adults $30, children $15.
That's correct.
And you can register at fourseasonsracemanagement.com.
Yes, you can register at
Four Seasons, who is our race manager, but you can register on popsislandmove.com. You can register on our Instagram page and Facebook and TikTok. You'll see our QR code. Once you scan the QR code, that gives you an opportunity to register.
Okay.
If you have any issues registering, you can direct message us at 827-5509. 827-5509.
Awesome.
And I'll assist you with
For people who want to volunteer, people who want to become vendors.
Same number.
Absolutely.
And same website and Facebook, Instagram.
Right. And after the race is going to be a race village with activities and vendors for participants and spectators.
And kids. Because we're going to have a bouncy castle there. So if you want to bring your kids, we will have security and supervision there. So if they want to jump on the bouncy castle while you do your 5K, that's cool too.
It's awesome.
I mean, those were a whole lot of words, but you miss out the part where you say adults could go on the bouncy castle. I heard the part where you say you have security to keep adults off the bouncy castle.
Yeah.
Y'all are very discriminatory.
While the kids in there, I can do an adult bouncy castle.
I just want to say, if you want to get adults to move.
I don't think a bouncy castle is where you want to start, though.
The truth is, you actually need a lot of core strength to, as an adult, to be in a bouncing castle and not hurt yourself or hurt other people.
And Aaron, these knees ain't brand new.
That's why I like the cushion of the bounce.
Yeah, these
they're looking off you, Aaron.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, man.
Trust me.
But I just would like to make that note at the national level that it seems y'all are discriminating against the elderly with this bouncing castle trend. They make bouncing castles for adults and older people, too. I just want you all to know.
Seeing as I'm still a young fella, I didn't look into it. But now that you directed me that way, I will look into it.
Absolutely. Mr. Longley, you're joining us today. Man, the track and field athletics are lit up. And it's fitting, right? Hawks Memorial last night. As the world churns, waiting for Bahamians to set records in every discipline possible. Mr. Longley.
Track and field is at an all-time high right now, man. We have a new world record holder in the women's 60-meter hurdles. This is the first time we have had a world record holder in a conventional event in track and field, an event that is run on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Right? We've had world record holders before, or world best times, as some people would call it. But those would be in events that are hardly ever run. Like Stevie Tito, he set a world record in the 300 meters, but they don't run the 300 meters at major meets. Mm-hmm. Shawnee set a world record in the 300 meters as well. Tommy Robinson is a former world record holder. Mm-hmm. So is Donnie Smith. You know, but this is the first time we've had a world record holder in an event that is run on a regular basis.
All right.
Kudos to Devin for that.
So listen, just before you go on, Devin, I know you holding, you know, the mic right now, but I have to do a Kanye and just say, but listen, you got plenty competition out there, Devin. Mm-hmm. You got to keep at it because we got this young Bahamian lady. Her name is Printasia Johnson. Mm-hmm. She performs out of University of Life. Mm-hmm. And week before last, she competed for her school. The story is women's track and field takes second in SSAC Indoor Track and Field Championships. Mm-hmm. The first champion of the weekend came in on the first day of events from senior Printasia Johnson in the 60-meter dash. And I know Devin's doing hurdles, right?
Yes.
But don't watch nothing. She come in. She come in, Devin, with a time of 7.43, right?
Mm-hmm.
And while also earning A standards, on the second day, Johnson was able to add another individual championship while also breaking a SSAC record in the 200-meter dash, finishing in first with an A standard time of 23.60.
Yes. We have a lot of athletes coming up, not just Printasia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want to talk about the hurdles, you know, Charisma Taylor, she does the hurdles. She's over there with Devin right now at the World Indoor Championships. You know, there's another lady in Division Two, Tanisha Cartwright.
Okay.
She runs the 60 meters, the 60-meter hurdles, and the 200 meters. You know, there are a lot of athletes who's coming up in the 60 meters and the 60-meter hurdles. So Anthony Sean, she's over there as well in our Glasgow with Devin and Charisma. We have a six-member team over there right now.
Yeah.
They start competition tomorrow, and Devin is running on Sunday. You know, that's another thing. They have her running three rounds of the 60-meter hurdles on Sunday, which is going to be kind of tough, but she's up to the challenge, so I'm no doubt about that. And I'm looking forward to big things from her.
Absolutely.
And from all of our athletes. I also want to send a shout-out to Pops Island Tours and race, Four Seasons Race Management. You know, they continue to do things. And for all these companies that are putting on events every weekend and stuff like that, we need more events in track and field and in sports in this country.
Right, because that's the sort of the culture that it sits on, right? The culture that boosts it up.
Yes, and you mentioned the Hawk thing last night. I can't believe I missed it. I forgot about it. I totally forgot about it. I got to blame Stanley for not reminding me about that.
Good morning, Mr. Mitchell.
Good morning. I'm 77 years old. He about 40-something. So I must remind him. I don't understand these niggas.
I totally forgot about that last day, but I apologize.
You're
Mr.
not
Mitchell.
The only one. I should have had it on a Thursday. Y'all don't expect big things to happen on a Thursday.
Yeah, and then I would
have to start planning the weekend till Thursday.
Exactly. Right.
It was a wonderful event, though.
Yeah, she was there.
Oh, yeah, I went out. In fact, I have a, if you're watching online, I have a copy of the booklet, Mr. Mitchell. I don't know if you had planned on reading it. A Final Walk from Hawk, and then I bought the little memorabilia a pamphlet. It is a must-have. If you are in the sports world, the track and field world, and you don't have this, reach out to Mr. Stanley Mitchell so you could get a copy. It's the best. It's called The Best Thing About Memories is Making Them Memories of Hawk.
Wow. Well, I hope he leaves one with The Guardian, you know, because you can need a copy as well.
Well, I can leave this one.
Look at there.
I can leave
and I blame
this one
you, too. You knew about it and didn't remind me last night. And I see you every day.
Listen, I've been to an event called All About the Beans. I will say that I gluttoned myself on some of the yummiest vegan options. I wasn't thinking nothing about sports.
Aaron wasn't thinking when she had beans, she thought they mean money. That's why she got it.
So, Mr. Mitchell, I invited you to talk about the memorial and Hawk's contribution to track and field. But I have a couple of listeners who said, send me a message, say, if you're going to have Mr. Mitchell on again, here's the first question you have to ask him. The World Athletics say that they are now shifting the world relays to every year, an annual event, and they ask your opinion on that.
I don't know why there should be an opinion, really. World Athletics would do something that they see that can boost the popularity of the sport and the income from the sport. I know it's going to be difficult, and Mr. Longley could attest to that, that it's a very expensive event for 2 days to put on. Mm-hmm. But basketball is every day, football is every week, so they got to step up the game. They will test it. When World Championship started, it was every 4 years, 83 to 87. When they got around to 91 and 93, they decided, look, we could have this every 2 years after they got going. And there were countries that could do it, so give it a try. I say I was always against it from the beginning for this country to hold it. If we couldn't get return on investment, it should be attached to your tourism product if you were that kind of economy.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it work, but who am I?
Yeah, I share the same sentiment. You know, I would like to see us get a return on it. It will be a very expensive venture for us to host it every year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know if that's something that the government is willing to do. I know they said they want to make the Bahamas the home of the World Relays, but that was before they knew it was going to be every year.
Yeah.
You know, so it would be interesting to see what happens going forward. But I agree that it should happen every year because it's a major qualifier for the World Championships and the Olympics. And every year, other than, you know, probably 1 year or 4 years, should have either World Championships or an Olympics. So in that respect alone, I would like to see it be done every year, but it goes back to funding.
It might be better to have it one place every, if you're going to do it every year. At least everything is already in place. You don't have to build facilities. You don't have to get a new
infrastructural cost.
The only thing wrong with it is the World Athletics IAAF takes all the money out of the event. So the hosting country has to depend on return on investment otherwise.
Outside of it, okay.
And how much do they subsidize it? That's the question.
Nothing. Yeah, you know. Barely anything. Mm. So
that's wild.
If we can maintain world-class elite infrastructure,
right?
Would it be possible for the Bahamas to be the host nation every year, but there's still a lottery for the organizing nation, right? So we host it, but every year the country changes, and they're responsible for the funding, but we are responsible just for maintaining the quality of the facilities with the World Athletics Committee's financial support.
We're too small in the big pond to be able to do that, and there's some countries that wouldn't even think about letting that happen.
Okay.
But one thing it will do, if you do it every year, because I've been to world championships all over the world, and most of the stadiums that were that hosted it, before 8 years afterwards, you go there, and the whole thing is crumbled because they had nothing else but that meet,
right.
World championships. But if we hosted it every year, everybody would have to be on the game, upkeep of the stadium and everything, and that would mm-hmm. be a good thing, mm-hmm. as you have other things for the children in it mm-hmm. as they maintain it.
Mm-hmm. For me, what I would be most interested in is if the energy and momentum of the event can, quote-unquote, infect our local track and field community. And so that by having it here, we make it more likely that Bahamian athletes will excel. They will raise the standard. They will hit international competitive standards on a regular basis. And mm-hmm. and then we have to have the conversation about if we can change national sport to track and field again. But it'll be worth it.
Which it should be, eh?
It'll be worth it.
I agree. But that's just one component of an athlete making it to the top. It's not a real big one.
Okay.
The basics are still there, and the 10,000 hours of work are still there, and the coaching, the facilities to train, and all that's still there. So,
yeah. Absolutely. Longley, what's up with C.H. Reeves? 4 straight. GSSSE.
I actually thought it was more than that. I had forgotten. Somebody had to remind me that AF Adley won, I think it was in 2018. I thought it was up to about 7 or 8 straight now, you know, but kudos to them. They have a dominant program. You know, kudos to Varel Davis, and Thurman Johnson. They do a fantastic job over there at C.H. Reeves. They train hard.
Okay.
You know,
where's C.H. Reeves?
CH Reeves, man. They've been in the same location
off,
for 30,
off
40
the
years
Robinson
now.
Road?
Off the highway, yeah.
Well, we have to give some of the kudos. That's why I'm saying it to Coach Grant.
Yeah, no doubt. Fitz Grant.
The groundwork in there. That's why I'm saying that these people just came and they reaping some of the rewards, but Fritz Grant has done a lot.
Yeah, since Fritz has been there, they have been a top program.
Yes.
You know, I was kind of surprised to see T.A. Thompson slip so low.
Say that again?
I was surprised to see the former C.C. Sweden Jr.
I want to hear you say T.A. Thompson.
So, you know what I mean, man.
Better you than me.
The former C.C. Sweden Jr. No. You know, you would know the C.C. Sweden Jr.
No, say
T.A. Thompson.
Okay.
T.A. Thompson. That's what you were there. You know, because yeah, they there used to be a major track and field program under Julie Wilson and Boston Blackie Miller.
Right.
But they finished last. You know, so I don't know if it's Miss Wilson is still there. I don't know.
No, Julie's gone.
Oh, she's gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Then the program has fallen off completely. So that was a major surprise for me.
All right. So it means that we need to refresh our inventory of coaches and trained PE teachers.
Mm-hmm.
No. There's a different big.
No, I know there's a big difference, but can we
toddlers and adults? This is between PE teachers and coaches.
You know, you always have an issue with that.
Yeah, please don't use the word.
Should
in
we?
The same sentence.
Should we mandate? But should we mandate a greater standard for our physical education staff within the public school? Should we require
physical
more
education
certification?
Ran out with Bourne, Butler, and Parker. Well, Parker was both. There's no, Mr. Sims. We used to have to do jumping jacks. That's PE. That's physical education about the body.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching is a different animal altogether.
But this is what I'm saying. Should the people who are hired to be physical education teachers have coaching under their belt?
They should.
Let me put it in context for you.
Yeah.
PE should be for children from kindergarten to here. Coaching in school should start here and go straight.
So you're saying from high school go up? Should be coaches
coaching
in the schools.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay,
let me defend Aaron just a little bit. I understand what she's saying because mm-hmm. I think what is happening is I am agreeing with you
mm-hmm.
that the physical education teachers need to be teaching physical education to the younger kids. When they get into high school, they need to get into coaching
mm-hmm.
if they want to pursue a particular discipline. But I don't think that we are training up enough coaches for that
particular stream to feed the kids. I'm just kicking in to agree. So that you could start feeding the track and field, the basketball, baseball, and all of the other disciplines. Because when you could sit down and consider how many of our kids are performing at elite levels, divided by our population, we're one of the top countries in the world for producing high-quality athletes.
Probably the top.
Yeah.
In terms of per capita.
I'm telling you. On a per capita basis.
Yeah. You know, I never believed in per capita. I believe you send 70 good children to Carifta, you could win Carifta. You don't need a million population or 300,000. You need 70 good athletes.
But for 70 good athletes, we probably need 20 or 30 good coaches.
Per capita. I hate that word.
Gentlemen, listen to the phone line.
We send 70. Okay.
Yeah. Good morning, caller.
Well, you got a whole house full of mine in there.
This is what I tell you. I put on my tennis and then. Yes, sir.
Wow.
Yes, sir. And you are missed. You are missed.
Yeah, I'm actually doing a.
Who is that, Eric?
He's outside.
He only wants to talk foreign sports. We don't need him this morning. We're going to talk about who will be there.
So, every time I show up, Eric is on show up. I don't understand it.
I know why.
Listen, even Sawyer Boy wanted to come in the studio so people could hear both voices at the same time. And to tell you congratulations. Let me tell you congratulations.
And we can do it next week.
Okay, good stuff. Listen, let me ask you a question, sir.
Go on.
What's happening in the NBA? What's happening with DeAndre Ayton? Well, just tell me quickly, what's happening with DeAndre Ayton? What's happening? Yeah. Pardon?
Yeah.
He's here?
Yeah.
Oh, he doesn't care?
Yeah.
Because you can't be
right
in...
Now.
You can't.
People in our team is not going to go anywhere, so why here?
So, listen, guys, we've got Gordon playing with the Suns, mm-hmm. Clay playing with the Warriors. Mm-hmm. Clay, we can claim you.
Yeah.
You can claim him.
Yeah, I claim
him. You can claim us,
though. Yeah, without a doubt.
Oh, he's rap hot.
Buddy playing with the Sixers and DeAndre playing with the Trail Blazers. And then we've got Kai playing with the men's national team, leading them to 2 victories against Puerto Rico.
Yeah, you can imagine all of them on the team at the same time. Well, not 2 victories. We won one, we lost one.
Okay,
You can imagine all of them on the team at the same time in the summer, trying to qualify for the Olympics. That'd be huge.
Yes. Is it possible for Kai to be a part of the national team for the Olympics qualifier?
It's very possible. It is impossible for Clay and Gordon to play at the same time because of FIBA rules.
Right.
Right. Both of them are naturalized citizens, and we could only have one.
Okay.
But Kai and DeAndre and Buddy could be there. Those three could be there, and we could have either Clay or Gordon, you know, which would be huge.
All right. And now, Longley, do me a favor. Sometimes we always focus on just the NBA guys. Mm-hmm. Let's also focus on the NCAA guys, mm-hmm. the international guys playing in Turkey, mm-hmm. like Zane Knowles, my HHT cousin. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we forget that we got a whole team other than those guys that keep it going when those guys aren't available.
Yeah.
And we want to say congratulations to them as well for the excellent play that they've put on the boards and on the court.
Yes, because they had a team in Puerto Rico without any other NBA players other than Kai.
Yeah.
And they beat Puerto Rico in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
That was the first time we ever beat Puerto Rico at the senior national level.
Yeah.
So kudos to those guys as well, Dominic Bridgewater and Kentwan Smith and Tavario Miller and the rest of those guys. And that was even without some of our top collegiate players like Alex Storr.
Right.
Vijay Edgecombe is playing very good in high school in the U.S. I hope he's a part of the team in the summer. You know, they could field a very, very good team. I'm optimistic.
That's great. That's great stuff. Now, just to end the show, a little word from the Nassau Tribune. They do this Player of the Month. I got to highlight this guy, Shannon Hanna II, who was chosen as their Male Athlete of the Month. He's a wrestler. And he has secured the Bahamas' first international medal in wrestling at the 2024 Pan American Wrestling Championship.
That means he has his master's degree in dachshund.
The number one martial art in the world is Bahamian dachshund. It's my favorite sport. Pops, you know about that?
What?
When the attacker comes towards you, what you do is you dash them to the ground and run in the opposite direction. Listen, it is the safest martial art ever.
I know. I fully agree. I've been on the business end of them, boy.
Yeah, one thing,
Absolutely.
Before you sign off, you know, kudos to the wrestler. But I got to give a shout out to my nephew, man, Dakari Tancrest.
Long Island.
Yes.
Phenomenon.
That would be my athlete of the month. First Bahamian to ever win an international world title in pool. And he's only 17 years old. He won the he won the 9-ball competition at the BCA World Championship.
That was amazing.
That was huge.
I could beat him on a pool day, but I'm
Eric, choose your battles wisely, son. Choose your battles wisely.
Listen, if you want to
make a battle, if I can wake up.
Here's the headline for that story. Tancrest wins BCA World title in pool. That's in the 26th of February in the Nassau Guardian. Taylor earns top swimmer award from his university his final, I think his final competition. Bahamas Esports ensures eligibility for Bahamians in the 2024 Overwatch Championship Series. Ken Mullings found himself in Glasgow in the top of his field.
He's going to win a medal.
BFA was in Abaco training coaches. And these guys say they can get the pool ready for us.
Yeah, we got two medals, Devin and Ken. Right, Stanley?
Definitely.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Producer, thank you very much for your patience. Eric, thank you for your patience as well. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, man. No problem, man. I'll be in next week. You know, I just want to defend this Asian of the Year crown right now.
There you go.
Congratulations, man.
And Pops, we'll be joining you on March tonight.
Make Eric come do.
Western Esplanade. Eric will be there. We will march him into the sun.
Yeah, man. If not, why not? Yeah, man. Well, I can start up and watch them fun run.
You can handle the water to dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. No problem.
Pops, thanks for making your celebration of life our celebration of life. Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah, talking. Man, I heard about your fight while I was on the road there, Pops.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, stay strong.
And
stay strong.
Mr. Mitchell, thank you for bringing us on the final Walk with Hawk. That was a wonderful event. Reach out to Mr. Mitchell for the memorabilia booklet. Hopefully somebody recorded it. And thank you to the Diagula Trio. I think it's the Fat Cats or something beautiful. Thank you for your performance last night. And Sharjay, thank you for inviting me to All About the Beans. You guys have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next. Oh, 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 oh